Father, we praise you and we thank you. Your grace continues to abound in our lives. Father, as we celebrate each Christmas, we acknowledge that Jesus was not born on December 25th, but he was born somewhere in the month of April. We thank you, O God, that there's an international day that is declared for us to celebrate in a day that is not only just a holiday, but a holy day, that we could remember the coming of Jesus to this planet Earth. And we choose this day, O Lord, to remember the glorious coming of Jesus in his first coming, and look forward to that second coming too. And we ask, O Lord, as we rejoice in this auspicious day, that you will set our hearts and our spirit in the right mood from your word, and tune our hearts and our lives to the right walk, so that we may walk the walk and live the life that you want us to accomplish and do on this earth. We ask, Father, that once again you glorify Jesus. Speak to our hearts, Lord, and let your word be like a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You have your Bibles, let's turn over to the Gospel of Luke and read that glorious passage of the angels declaring the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in Bethlehem. Luke chapter 2. Gospel of Luke chapter 2. I read a long passage. I read from verse 1 onwards. Gospel of Luke 22, chapter 2, verse 1 onwards. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward all men, toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, and this is the third time saying, lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this Christ. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherd. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen as it was told them. What we have here, the glorious account of the first coming of the Lord Jesus, and all of us are familiar with many of the Christmas carols, some Christmas plays. They always take place in a little manger. Away in a manger. Right? All of us know that he was born in a manger. This morning we want to look and why the Lord was born in a manger. The most common reason that we theoretically brought forward, theologically deduced, is that God chose to come in great humility, clothed in humanity. But as I look at the reason why he was born in a manger, I believe that there was more than just one reason. How many reasons do you have this Christmas day why he was born in a manger? Why was he born in a manger? He could have chosen to be born in a palace or in a decent house. You say, oh well, didn't the Bible say because there was no room in the inn? But God knows that there would be no room in the inn. God has angels. He could arrange a house just as the Lord Jesus arranged a Lord's Supper room that belongs to a rich man. These things are within his control. But why did he so choose a humble little manger? And that manger is not quite as clean and as decent looking as most of our Christmas plays. And the silent night was not quite so silent. There were many other sounds like it was not quite as silent as we imagined. There were a lot of noises. Remember, the inn or the hotels of those times were filled. The streets were filled with people. It was only silent to some. Why did he choose to be born in a manger? Perhaps you have only one reason. Let me give you another key reason why he chose to be born in a manger, besides the reason of him choosing to show humility, which is a common reason that we all know. Number one, I call him the secret Lord. The secret Lord. The Lord who comes in ways that we never expect him. Through people, manifest to people whom we never quite anticipate. Why the secret Lord? Do you notice that nobody around knows that was an auspicious day? Everyone was busy. What was the talk of the town, the census? What was in the headlines, the registration of the people? And in times like that, you can imagine that Bethlehem and many other towns of Israel would be filled with people. And where you have people, there will be enterprising people who will set up a lot of stalls. There will be a lot of pasar malam stalls on the streets bazaars all over opened suddenly just for that day. And as Mary and Joseph came to town, into Bethlehem that day, there were all kinds of people who didn't know the significance of that day. Some of them would say, Hey, Tarek. What's the other one? Thunder break. Roti Chennai. What do you eat for Christmas, Joshua? Not yet, alright. Spring hopper. It's in a thunder break, right? Okay. All kinds of things. People were selling, the markets were full. Nobody knew that day, the Savior was to be born. God could have sent an angel, like He sent it to Mary and sent it to a shepherd, and had the angel land in the middle of their Pasar Malam, instead of the angel appearing in the fields where only a few shepherds were. Why not have the angel come right in the middle of town, where everybody was busy selling all those things, all the hurry-burry things of life, and land right in the middle of it in glorious display, and said, "Behold, there is born unto you this day a Savior." Probably, when the angel said, "Behold," everybody would be gone. And you wonder why he didn't send an angel to the town like he did to the country. Because he is the secret Lord who comes in ways that he will test our heart. If Jesus were to come right now, in all his glory, people will acknowledge him and worship him. But Jesus chose to come in ways that we never quite expect or anticipate. I call him the secret Lord. Why the secret Lord? Because he comes to search out the secret things of our hearts. He comes to those who seek him, who want him, who love him. The vast majority of people are not waiting for him, not longing for him. Turn over to the book of Matthew chapter 24 and we see a little comparison. Look at Matthew 25, that is. The Lord said in verse 35, here in a parable, "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." And the people asked him and said, "Lord, when did we do all these things?" And the Lord said, verse 40, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." Number one, in the secret Lord, all through history and all through revivals and all through church history and all the things that occurred, the Lord has always come in ways that people least expect. He does not come to the proud and to the mighty, but he comes to the meek and to the humble. Most of us will not dream that when the Lord looks at us, we think that he's just looking at the outward thing or the things we did for him. But wait a minute, some of the things we did for him, we only do it for outward reasons. But the Lord looks at the secret places of our heart and see whether we do it really all for him. See, when did the Lord come to me? The Lord can come in ways that are disguised to see how you are. You see, does the Lord come secretly and manifest secretly? I thought he always comes in his glory. You remember the Gospel of Luke 24. The Lord came in a sort of disguise. And he walked with the two disciples on the way to Emmaus. The two disciples didn't know that it was the Lord. And obviously there were a lot of people passing by them. The Lord must have been some form of disguise so that people passing by would not see that it was the Lord. Have you ever occurred to you that the two disciples walking on the way to Emmaus passed a lot of other people? If the Lord came in all his glory, everybody would be staring at him. But the Lord came in a disguise. Why did he come in a disguise in Luke 24? To see what is in the heart of the people. I wish I was very good at disguising. I'm not good at that. Maybe Terrence is good. And perhaps disguise myself and come like a visitor to the church to see how people will treat real visitors. Then I will really know what's in their heart. Or perhaps if I could disguise myself and come to your home, who knows, one day I may, and knock on the door and said, please, can you help me? And maybe, as you look and you thought there was a beggar outside, you said, sure, get out of this place. That is your heart. 10 minutes later, I take away my disguise and come in as Pastor Peter Tan. He says, oh, Pastor, welcome to my home. Aha. What was the true condition of your heart? Is it when I visited or when I was in this guy? So the Lord came in this guy in Luke 24 to find out what's in the heart. And these disciples pondering things in their heart. And right up to the time that they reached the town and village of Emmaus, they didn't know it was the Lord. And when they welcomed the person and said, look, you're being with us, come, welcome, stay with us in our hotel room, they didn't know it was the Lord. But only when they had welcomed him, And they were about to eat the food, and he gave thanks, that their eyes were open, they saw it was the Lord. The secret Lord. Now the Lord may, he still may do it today, or he may choose to come in disguise in other forms. He may send people across your life. People whom you say who are dealing in your areas of your heart, secret areas of your heart. The Lord may speak through a little child's mouth. The Lord may speak in areas that you never want to listen to. I call him the secret Lord. My friends, the revival of the Lord has begun. But it's not announced on the streets, on the highways, on the byways, and on the rooftops yet. Let me tell you, a lot of people will only come in when it's announced on the rooftop. But it has already begun in the hearts of people. It's already begun in small little groups, the small little prayer meetings. The Lord is already beginning to make sense in ways that we never expected. But the vast majority are waiting, too busy about to listen to what the Lord is doing, to see what the Lord is doing. Why? Because they are like the other group. The second group of people are the people out on the street, the innkeeper, the owner of the hotel, and many others around. I'm sure they stopped many places to find a room for Jesus. But the people around didn't know what day it was. It was Christmas Day, the day he was to be born. It was like Noah's time. People were marrying and giving in marriage and drinking and eating and feasting, and there was a lot of celebration on. I call them the secular people. There is the secret law, there's the secular people. People who will never listen to the Lord. People who don't really love the Lord in the secret places of their heart. People who only come to the Lord when certain things happen. When what things happen? When it's declared on a rooftop and it's too late. But whose eyes do not see, whose ears do not hear what God is already doing. The secret Lord. He is already begun, beginning his work. They are like people that are described in John chapter 7. Among those people are the Jews and the Pharisees. In chapter 7, as the Lord Jesus revealed himself in Jerusalem, there were people who said, "Is this the Christ? Is this the Messiah who is to come?" Then in verse 40, John 7 verse 40, many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, "Truly this is the prophet." Now some people are acknowledging that he is the prophet. Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, look at what they are reasoning. Some said, "Will the Christ come out of Galilee?" That means not many people know that he was born in Bethlehem. Let me read on. "Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem where David was?" Look at them. Look at them. They know the scriptures. They know that the scripture said that Christ will be born in Bethlehem. They know the scriptures written in the Bible. And when the scriptures were fulfilled, they didn't know. There are secular people who don't know God and secular Christians who don't know the Spirit of God. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. That's a message given to the church, not to the world. Jesus was looking on the door of the church. All through the history of revival, you notice that the revivalists or the people of God, the true saints of God, were not among the hustle and bustle of life. They were among those in the manger. In settings that are so humble, you never believe that God could do it. Every one of us know about the Azusa Street Revival. Do you know how humble the real barn was? It was a ransacked building. They had sawdust on the ground. That was where God chose to bring forth what Time magazine called the third move, or the third wave of Christianity, Pentecostalism. It began in humble ways. But when it began, there were hundreds of ecclesiastical leaders who said, what are those people doing? And very carefully, Christ's coming is closer than we think. Even if he were to come after 2000 AD, let's say after 10, 20 years, have you realized it's still not too long? Even if he were to come in 2028 or 2030 or whatever, it's still only about 20 odd years away. Have you realized it? I don't think that we will ever reach even one third of the next century. My friend, Jesus Christ is coming closer. I don't think that he will come exactly 2000 AD. That's my personal opinion. We will possibly pass 2000 AD. But how far out? I don't think it's far out. It may be 10, 20 years, or 30 years at the most. When you add that, it's about 20 to 30 odd years. That's a very short time to his coming. And Jesus has already begun what he wants to do in the last great move of God. It's begun in the mangers somewhere. Neither has he let him hear what the Spirit says. Will you be among those who seek God, or among those of the secular crowd? Remember, he is the secret Lord who reveals himself in ways that will test our hearts. He will reveal himself in a way that the proud, the secular, the worthy, the people who don't love God will not be able to accept, because it will test the core of their heart. And look at what they are saying. They know enough scriptures. They are like Christians here, the Pharisees. They know what will happen in the revival, but when the revival actually happened, they don't know. They know that Christ will be born in Bethlehem, but when Christ was born in Bethlehem, they didn't know. Jesus was now 30 over years old, and they still didn't know. You know what they could have done? They could have come and asked one of his disciples and say, I heard that the scripture says that Christ was born in Bethlehem. How come he's from Nazareth and Galilee? I'm sure one of his disciples would have told him, and look, he was actually born in Bethlehem. The scripture already came to pass. It's over. He has shifted to Nazareth, and he didn't know it. The secret law. My friends, don't think that God will send a thunderbolt to where you are. God sends a little manger to where you are to test the secrets of your heart. I like the song, and it says, you know, O come, O ye faithful, prepare him room in your heart. Here we are in John chapter 7, in verse 43. There was a division among the people because of him, and some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid hands on him. Then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees and said to them, why have you not brought him? The officers answered, no man ever spoke like this man. Verse 47. The Pharisees answered them, are you also deceived? In other words, think these officers have started believing in Jesus. And then look at their second reason for not believing. Verse 48. This among the secular crowd. Has any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him? You know what their reasoning is? If Christ were to come, he would come among our religious leaders who are already appointed and recognized. This is where Christ is going to come.
So if any one of our leaders, great religious leaders, believe in him, then he is the true one. Or he would have risen up from among us. Us who are born and who are born and bred in the Sanhedrin, not among those born in a manger. I studied a great move of God. There is a difference between revival and a move of God. Revival is where the true fire of God burns. A move of God is when key leaders of society or of the church come into the revival. Because there is in church growth what you call tribal movement. Tribal movement is like when you go to a jungle and you convert the king of the tribe, the entire tribe comes to know Jesus. See, the king, when he comes to know the Lord and gives up all the pagan beliefs, all the whole tribe will follow. Do you know modern society and modern tribe? We follow secular musicians. And if a famous musician come to know the Lord, we say, oh, then I want to know the Lord too. It's called the music tribe. Or we follow great entrepreneurs. And if a famous businessman like Howard Hughes or Rockefeller comes to know the Lord, then you say, then Christianity is of God. Let me go into. We are the business tribe. Or we follow. Those are the scientific community. Those great intellects and philosophers. And if people like Albert Einstein come to know the Lord, then you say, oh, Jesus is of God because he says so. It's the science tribe. And usually when the leader of any quote-unquote so-called tribe come to know God, they bring their followers behind. That is called a movement. That's okay. No problem with that. When that happens, a revival becomes popular. Let me tell you, revival is on all the time. The true church, sometimes it's a remnant, sometimes the great movement, is always there. It's like the Olympic fire that burns. And nowadays, because of a great distance, long ago when they light the Olympic flame, the person has to carry the flame from great distances, and that's where the marathon race, you know, and all some of this, they run and they light the flame. Nowadays, they carry the flame from one city to another. Sometimes from the airline, they keep the flame going, and they land on a place, and the runner runs right to a place, sometimes thousands of miles apart. And they light the flame, that same flame. Let me tell you, the flame of Christianity has never died. Sometimes there are only a remnant left of those who truly know God. Well, the vast majority don't know God. Sometimes the whole part comes to know God. There is a difference between revival and a movement. The movement has not manifested yet, but the revival has begun in the hearts of God's people. The secret Lord has already manifested. The revival began on Christmas Day. Those people were revived. Those shepherds were changed. You see here, it says, have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him? They want to believe based only on their own interpretation and their own setting. Verse 52. Are you also from Galilee? Search out and look, for no prophet has arisen out of Galilee. They have formed their own conclusion. God cannot work in those groups. God cannot work in a manger. God cannot work. A prophet cannot come from Galilee. God cannot work among young people. God cannot work among Sunday school children. Who said so? Have you read about the Adullam children? Children 4, 5, 6, 7 years old saw visions of the Lord. Children were teenagers who talk about the Lord and prepare for his second coming. God cannot work because I'm old. Have you read about people who come to know the Lord at the zenith of their life and they turn to God and God used them so powerfully? It's unbelievable. Praise God. Can it happen in Galilee? Question for you is, can it happen in a manger? Can it happen in your home? My friends, God is pouring out His Spirit in your homes and in your life. He is the secret Lord who reveals Himself to test us, to see what's in our hearts. He reveals Himself in such a way, He designs the revelation to our life in such a way that you are like in pilgrim's progress. To cross that little narrow hedge, you will have to get rid of that burden. You have to lose and say no to the things that block you out from God to get into the manifestation. But once you get in, you can see the glory there. Or are you among the third group? First we see the secret Lord, then we see the secular people. The third group are the seekers. The seekers after God. Those who don't follow the crowd. And when I read this passage, and it's always fresh every time, I say, Lord, I can understand you revealing yourself to the wise men because they came a long way, all the way. By the time they reached Jesus, he was in Nazareth, approximately 1 to 2 years old. They are seekers after God. And just as they draw near the little town, the star that they saw appeared, God manifests. To seek us. Seek after Him. And I can understand God manifesting to people like Simeon or Anna the prophetess. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, it tells us God manifesting Himself to some people who are not among the crowd. Gospel of Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout. And look at him. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now he was someone whose heart was right. He was seeking after God. He was waiting for the Messiah. He knew it was time for the Messiah. And God revealed to him. And that day the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus when he was 8 days old, was about to be circumcised. And that little child was brought to be circumcised and dedicated to God. The Holy Spirit told Simeon, and said, Simeon, I will show you today what I promised you. I don't know how many years ago God promised him. God promised him and said, Simeon, you will see the Messiah before you die. Wow. What about God promising you and said, you will see heaven before you come home? I have the promise. Hallelujah. God bring it earlier. God promises you. And I know that I'm a part of the last move of God. That's God's promise to me. But God is speaking to our hearts. To Simeon, he says, you will see the Messiah. And he waited and waited every day. He stayed faithful and true. One day, God said, today is the day. He was going to see the Messiah. He didn't know how the Messiah looked like. Could be a grown man. Could be a teenager. But as he came to the temple that day, God showed him the Messiah was no more bigger than what his hands can carry. 8 days old. I want to show you what kind of man he was. He accepted it. He could say, no, I will only receive him as how can this baby change the world? And I'm sure that day there could be more than one baby.
It was the only place that the Israelites could come to dedicate and circumcise their children.
So can you imagine there were more than one baby? And all the babies looked the same to the secular eye. But to the seeker's eye, he saw beyond and he saw the secret law revealed in flesh. And he took that, when the Lord points out the child, he took that child and he said, "Thank you, God. I have seen the Messiah. You have kept the promise." Nobody else understood the words he spoke, but nobody could comprehend that it was a secret law. The book of John chapter 1 says that he came to his own, and his own people didn't know him, knew him not. Who is he? The secret Lord. He reveals himself. Even if he come in mighty signs and wonders, he still come in signs and wonders in a way that will test your heart. It tested the Pharisees' heart. They say, "Who is he coming among the people whom they hated, sinners and the publicans?" The secret Lord. The secular people, but the seekers. Those who seek the Lord. And one of the great puzzles that I look at in chapter 2 of Luke is, why do you reveal yourself to the shepherds when the shepherds were not seeking you? The shepherds don't seem to be seeking God, they were just taking care of sheep. If he could reveal himself to the shepherds, why not to the people in town? And the Lord spoke and said, it's because they were separated from the hustle and bustle of the things of this life. The hustle and bustle of the things of this life. Remember the parable of the seed, sower and the seed. The things of this life, the hustle and the bustle of it, crowd out the word of God. I'm sure that day not many people want to be on duty. Well, there was a festivity in town. They could have 100 shepherds and they were all there and one was there and they said, "Alright, today there's a town that can I apply for leave?" And only those who don't really enjoy those kind of festivities are left behind. Every one of them who have a slight inclination to the world and the things of this world and the attraction would have straight away gone. They left only the few hardy shepherds who just couldn't care for festivities, and they were there enjoying the quietness of the night. Then God sent an angel and said, "My son is born. I want people to know it." The angels look. The angels look to announce the birth of the son. He looked among the secular. He looked among the businessmen. He looked among the stalls. He looked among the innkeepers. He looked. And he found no one to declare to. Angels saw shepherds waiting in the field, in the peace of the night, away from town, with Mother Nature, contemplation of God's creation. He came to them. Shepherds who were not secular, who are not in the hustle and bustle of life, and say, "Behold, I have good news for you. Today, Jesus is born." And you know, the shepherds who will not go to town to enjoy the festivity
will go to see the Messiah born in a little manger.
And I could see the shepherds as they go to town. And some of them say, hey, what are you doing in town?
I'm not coming for anything that you came for.
As a king, there are many attractions, all the lambs were out. Celebration, dancing, whining.
But they look only for one place.
They don't go through the front door because they were towards the manger.
And they were looking behind for the manger.
Which manger? Which manger? Well, everybody's in the front celebrating, and a lot of donkeys are parked in the manger. They look for manger after manger, while people are looking from pasar malam stall to pasar malam stall. They're looking from manger to manger, places where nobody will look, looking for Jesus.
God reveals Himself to those who seek after Him.
This Christmas, as we celebrate it, remember the three words or three little principles. Number one, He is the secret Lord. And He will still continue to reveal Himself in ways that will test our hearts. That we must be open to Him. Number two, don't be like those in the secular crowd, but be like those, number three, among the seekers after Him. That's where the blessing comes. For all the thousands of people in town in Bethlehem that day, all the thousands received only temporary pleasure. Some of them bought the things that they wanted to for a long time that they couldn't have. Some of them enjoyed the wine, dining, and festivities and the dancing that they couldn't have before. But it all passed away. Only that small little group of seekers have what will not pass away. They saw the Lord. And it was ingrained in their heart, a reverence and an awe that will last and change their life for eternity. Let's continue to be seekers after God. Let's pray. Father God, we pray as we seek You this day. As we come before You, Lord, may we see beyond the hustle and bustle of life to see the things of Your Spirit. May we see beyond the outward form to see the inward truth. May we see beyond the flesh to look into the depth of the Spirit. And may we be people who desire the deep things of the Spirit, the deep things of God, the deep things, O Lord, of Your glory. Father, as You reveal Yourself in secret ways that we never expect, help us to be meek and humble, that we will not have our eyes so turned away from You, or so attracted and hypnotized by the hustle and bustle of life, so that we have no eyes for Jesus. Keep our eyes on Jesus always. Keep our heart for Jesus always. Oh God, help us always to have room in our heart. Because Jesus is looking for room in our heart. He says in Revelation chapter 3 verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He that hears My voice and opens the door, I will come into him. And I will sup with him and eat with him. Jesus is still looking for a room, my friend. He did not find any room in the inn. He only found one in the manger. The Lord Jesus is still looking for a room. Do you have room in your heart for Him? Do you have room in your life for Him? If you have not been living right
in your life. You shut Jesus out in a manger when he should have the whole house. My friend, do you have room in your heart for Jesus? Do you have room in your life for Jesus? Do you have room in your business for Jesus? And sometimes, do you have room in your ministry for Jesus? Or is your ministry all about yourself and the promotion of yourself and your gifts? Do we have room for Jesus? He's still knocking. And if right now in this place you have never opened your heart to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the miracle can take place in your life even right now today. Do we have room for Jesus? Let's bow our heads in prayer. And if you have never accepted Jesus into your heart and life before, while every head is bowed, every eye closed, you have never made room for Jesus, I want you right where you are, very quickly, to lift up your right hand and say, "Pray for me, Pastor. I want to live my life for Jesus. I want to make it right for Jesus." Lift it up high, quickly. Jesus is calling for you. Say, "I want to give my life to Jesus. I want Jesus in my life." And after you raise your hand, you can put your hand down. It's all between you and Jesus. Are you going to put him in a manger? Or are you going to put him at the center of your life? And if you're here, and you enjoy Christianity, you enjoy the church, you enjoy things, but the question the Lord asks you, is Jesus the center of your life and your activities? Jesus is also calling for you. Do you have room in your heart for him? Make it right with God. And you are here, you know you have not been living life right. You know Jesus has not been in the center of your life. You kept Jesus in a manger all the time, a small corner of your life. You take him when you want him. You call for him when you're in need. When you're not in need, you leave him behind. While every head is bowed, every eye closed, I want you to lift up your hand too and say, "Pray for me. I'll make Jesus the supreme love in my life too." Lift your hands up and then put your hands down. Say, "I want to make him supreme love in my life. I've never done that. And I'm going to do it today. Do it now." Throw your hand, yes, and you can put it down quickly. You and God. Now let's pray. Father God, you know what goes on in our heart and in our life, oh Lord, in the secret places of our life. And you continue to choose to reveal yourself as a secret Lord to test our hearts. We pray, Lord, that you will always find good in our heart and our life. So search our hearts, Lord, and touch it, that we may really adore him and love him. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all rise together and sing a song, "O Come, All Ye Faithful." O come, all ye faithful.
O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come, O come to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of England. O come, let us adore him. Come, let us adore him. Come, let us adore in Christ the Lord. As you sing that song again, if you put your hand to receive Jesus, or you put your hand to rededicate your life to Jesus this Christmas, and you can come right up to the front and we will just pray for you before we go. Amen.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Come, O come, to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of England. O come, let us adore Him. Come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him in Christ alone. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Come, let us adore Him in Christ the Lord. Come, all ye faithful. Joyful and triumphant, oh come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold Him, born the King of Angels. Oh come, let us adore Him. Oh come, let us adore Him. Come, let
everyone just confess together with me, with all of those here. Say, Lord Jesus, I made you my Lord. I made you my first love of my life. Thank you, Jesus. Now onwards, I will live my life for you. Not just on Christmas Day, but every day of my life. And Jesus will have room in my heart. He will have room in my family. He will have room in my business and profession. He will have room in my ministry. I will make room for Jesus in my life forevermore. Thank you, Jesus. I receive your grace. I receive your life in me. For it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Give Jesus a good time offering. Feliz Navidad. Praise God. Praise God. Enjoy your Christmas with Jesus as Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Navidad. God bless you. Amen.
Thank you.